standing for the reading of the gospel. Thank you for your flexibility this morning. Once in a while, the Spirit of God waits until after press time to have something to say. So we changed the text this morning. We begin in chapter 14 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. This past Thursday, August 10th, marked the anniversary, the 1,757th anniversary, as legend would have it, of the martyrdom of St. Lawrence of Rome. He was burned alive on a red-hot metal grid. He was cooked to death, really. Because 3 days earlier, he had been ordered following the execution of his superior, who was the Pope, to turn over the riches of the church. So he asked for 3 days to gather all that was of value, and he actually spent those 3 days dispersing whatever wealth the church had to the poor and disenfranchised. And then on the third day, he arrived to meet with the prefect. And looking the official who had already put his superior to death straight in the face, he held his hands high, gesturing to the dozens of poor who had arrived with him, and he said of them, "Here are the treasures of the church. The church is richer by far than your emperor." His life was at an end before the day was out. St. Lawrence is a hero of mine, a true giant of the faith. But he couldn't walk on water. On April 4th, 1968, another man, a Baptist preacher, lost his life, sending shockwaves throughout the world. He dared to say that equality for all people was not only a good idea in the social life of the world, but was actually a rule of faith. "I have a dream," he said. And when he spelled that dream out, it sounded a lot like God's hopes for the world. It sounded a lot like gospel. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. showed us that while the church and civil government should never be mixed, the church should never stop speaking to and informing public policy. He was so influential that he was killed for it. His faith was as strong as any that you or I may ever know. But he couldn't walk on water. We could identify 100 more heroes of faith before this morning is out. Some of them close to us, known mostly by our community. But others would be big names, people made famous by their feats of faith and faithfulness. And none of them, mind you, will have walked on water. So what hope do the rest of us have? What place does this little story that we've read have in the lives of those of us whose faith is moderate or mediocre, or maybe even meager? If Peter couldn't do it for more than a moment, and no other giant of faith since has even tried, what hope do we normal folk have of walking on water? Even if we break from literalism and understand walking on water to be a metaphor that most of us will still struggle to imagine our faith leading us to do anything comparable to defying natural law. It is hard enough to defy social norm when it's the faithful thing to do. No, most of us will never be heroes of the faith, and we know it. But if we begin to accept that and settle into a fatalism that says, well, I can't walk on water, so I'm just not cut out for faithfulness, then we should probably take a closer look at this story we read this morning. If I had to guess, I'd say that we have all heard whispers, whether we heed them or not, through this story, calling us to a life outside of the boat. Peter, in faith, was able to abandon ship and materialize his trust in Jesus by standing on the water for a moment. Have you ever considered that? Peter stood on the water only for a moment before being baptized into his own humility and then helped back into the boat. That's Peter, Saint Peter, the leader of the 12, the first pope by one Christian tradition, the rock upon whom the church is built, the first in the Bible to recognize Jesus as Messiah. His faith was strong enough to do no more than momentarily delay the splash. And that moment of delay is still the time to beat all this time later. He's the only one who's ever been close to walking on water. But that's just what happens in the story. Did you notice what didn't happen? It's a good thing to notice when reading the Bible. According to the gospel writer Matthew, Peter does not drown in a sea of unbelief. Quite to the contrary, he is taken up by the arms of Christ and restored to firm ground aboard the boat. For around 1,700 years, Christian art and imagery have used a boat with a single mast as an emblem for the church universal. This quirky, sometimes ineffective, always mysterious and painfully flawed network of individuals and congregations and organizations and even anti-organizations is the God-ordained vessel that carries its inhabitants unscathed through the winds and over the tumult of life. That reality has been expressed in paintings and in sculpture, and on the walls of churches and upon tombs, even in film, with the likeness of a boat on troubled waters. It's the boat we all reside in, even now. called to simultaneously prophesy within and embrace a broken world, our task would absolutely swallow any one of us, even the most faithful. But together, the burden is shared. One of us is a rudder, setting direction and making correction when the currents push us off course. Another is a sail, harnessing the strength of the winds, propelling us all forward together, though tossed and battered, slicing through the tempest. Why do we so quickly assume that the boat Peter leaves behind is the unfaithful place to be? I have met those who have, in one way or another, left the relative safety of the church, of the boat, perhaps by traveling remotely away from the systems or the structures of support that the church offers, in the name of missions, or those who have stepped out with such a strong prophetic voice in times when the church has gone wrong that there was scarcely left a congregation where they could safely reside. I am genuinely grateful for these Martin Luthers and for his reforming spirit, for those who have bailed out of the church for good reason. But affirming the need once in a while for someone to step out does not necessitate that we claim the boat as a place of unfaithfulness. What if that's the message of the story of Peter getting all wet? What if we're supposed to see in his climbing out of the boat the folly of believing he could go it alone, or that his faith was somehow strong enough to carry him? It is impressive that it did hold out for a moment, but ultimately, the most faithful place he could be was the only one he had faculties to be, in the boat. Maybe for many of us, the most faithful place we could be is in the security of the boat, among the church. From here, we can weather the storm, tack against the winds, but we can do it together, each with our own little parts to play. The boat in the end may be the most faithful place for each of us to be. Sure, if you like, you can pack your bags and get up to date on your malaria shots. You can head to the bush of Africa and take a leap out of the boat. Or you could cloister yourself, a prayer warrior in discipline for the rest of your life. Or you could even brave the wilds of the spiritual but not religious mentality, standing outside the church, critique of a system that has gone off course in some ways. And if you feel called to those things, then you should probably listen. If, however, you don't feel yourself to be a giant of the faith, the answer is not to simply let the waves overtake you. It's to get back in the boat, to play your part, and be a part of getting this old creaky ship wherever it is that it's going. Amen. Our invitation today is an invitation by God. It is an invitation to faithfulness. It may be that your form of faithfulness this day is to contribute to the work of this congregation through the offering. And if so, you'll have a moment as the plates are passed to contribute here in a moment. Or it may be that your act of faithfulness this morning is something a bit less tangible. Perhaps your offering to God is a bit of who you are. Some commitment, some decision. Whatever your commitment to God might be this day, let us spend these few moments considering these things.